Welcome to the 64th episode of the Reading and Writing Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Rutherford. Stay tuned for my interview with Mark Stevens, author of Buried by the Rhone, the latest Allison Coyle mystery. The Allison Coyle mysteries are an acclaimed mystery series rich with the Colorado setting. Stay tuned for the interview. Well, welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Mark Stevens. Stevens' novel, Buried by the Rhone, is available in bookstores now. Buried by the Rhone is a mystery novel set in Colorado featuring the protagonist, Allison Coyle. Welcome to the podcast, Mark.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, Jeff.
Sure. Well, before we get started on questions, I wondered if you could read the first paragraph of the novel.
I appreciate it. Thanks. Here we go.
Okay.
Allison Coyle tugged the reins on Sonny Boy, and the horse came to a stop with a labored sigh. His clock was punched. Allison stood in the stirrups and squeezed her shoulders back, the bones of her torso snapping and popping with exquisite release. Her day was done, too.
Great. Well, if someone listening hasn't heard about Buried by the Rhone before, can you talk about the novel a little bit, about what it's about?
Sure. It's the second in the series, and I think the main thing to know at first is the protagonist, Allison, is somebody who escaped the city, basically. She survived a very traumatic experience in the city, and found her healing spot in a place called the Flat Tops Wilderness, which is a very large and distinctive wilderness area in central western Colorado. And she's found this healing spot for her. It's a place where she really now doesn't want to leave, and she's sort of calling it her own. And in the second book, Buried by the Rhone, the main things and themes that she runs up against are the natural gas exploration in the western Colorado region, which has become quite controversial, particularly around the technique that the energy drillers are using that's called fracking. And fracking has become a national controversy as well in the last even 6 or 8 months that I've been watching. And in Buried by the Rhone, there's a clash of environmental sort of points of view in the surrounding communities around the Flat Tops, which are communities like Glenwood Springs and particularly Meeker. And that controversy wends its way up the trail into the Flat Tops during hunting season and draws Allison into a murder mystery.
Great. Well, I noticed in your bio that you grew up in Massachusetts, but you're writing Buried by the Rhone and your earlier novel, Antler Dust, and writing very evocatively about the Colorado landscape. When you started working on these novels, was there a conscious decision to set them in Colorado, or since you lived there, was it just a natural decision?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think Colorado has been my home now for 31 years, and as much as I love the East Coast in Massachusetts and think fondly of my fantastic upbringing in the greater Boston area, you know, it'll take a crowbar to get me out of Colorado at this point, just based on the mountains and all the variety of outdoor activities that they provide. And the Flat Tops in particular, I had to use the Flat Tops because the woman who inspired Allison Coyle, and she does exist, the Allison is a fictional version of a real female hunting guide and outfitter that I met years ago up there. And the combination of Allison Coyle and the Flat Tops was really just a marriage made in heaven, especially for a mystery writer running across both a strong environment and a strong character put the two together.
Sure. Well, you actually just answered my next question, because I was going to, I was going to ask you about the female point of view. Since you did base it somewhat on an existing person, as you just mentioned, was there any trepidation on your part, or did you feel like you had to get some of your female friends to read the novel and give you feedback, since you're writing from a female point of view?
Well, first, there's trepidation in every single word and sentence, let alone whether I'm trying to cross gender here and try to channel a female point of view. So the answer is yes. And in wading into the idea of writing across gender and switching the point of view to a female, I basically did, I think, what anybody in my shoes would do, which is try to read female authors writing female characters. And, you know, I'd read whole novels. I read dozens and dozens of novels, both in mystery and other genres, just trying to really identify what are the traits and characteristics, and what specific words, thoughts, emotions, attitudes, where is the femaleness of this particular character, whether I was reading a Sue Grafton, or whether I was reading something like Nevada Barr writing about Anna Pigeon. And so I did a lot of work in studying, and then it sort of occurred to me that really, you know, whether you're a man or a woman, you have access to every single emotion under the sun. You're a human being first, and there's no emotion you can't tap. And I would, I've talked about this. I've been to classes on it. I've been to workshops about this. I think it's a really fascinating sort of situation to be in, to try to develop the character first and really understand your character. And then in addition to that, or as part of that, work on the sort of the sexuality and how that plays itself out in the character. So the answer is I tried to put a lot of work into it, and yes, indeed, did show it to many female friends who are readers, and tried to take their feedback and incorporate their feedback. I'm a big believer in getting group critiques and showing it around and really listening to that advice and seeing what common themes emerge, as much about the character and then also about the sexual sort of point of view.
Sure. Well, you just mentioned some of the female writers that you kind of studied as you started working on this. I'm curious, outside of those writers, who are some of the writers that you that inspire you and that you enjoy reading when you're not writing?
Well, I am a voracious reader of both mystery genres and what I would call general straight fiction as well. Take the opportunity to sing the praises of Patricia Highsmith, who really got me going in the whole mystery realm, in addition to James M. Cain. But Patricia Highsmith, to me, I mean, some people, you know, sort of raise their eyebrows and say, who? And then you mention films like The Talented Mr. Ripley or Strangers on a Train, and they go, oh, okay, now I know what you're talking about. But she's dark. She's talk about writing across gender. She most, you know, 90% of what I can think of were male characters for her, and very dark and troubled individuals. More kind of mystery thrillers, because sometimes you knew you were following a bad guy like Ripley, and not so much the straight Agatha Christie style whodunits. They were more of just a psychological thriller. But her ability to draw in a reader and put them in the head of a person is just, in my mind, almost unmatched. And so I'm a big fan of hers. James M. Cain, like I mentioned, very, very different writer, but I just really admire the way he chiseled his words and how carefully he put his stories together and how much he squeezed the essence of the story down really to a fine grain and made them very enjoyable. I'm a big fan of John Updike, Philip Roth, Richard Ford, I'm reading the new Jeffrey Eugenides book right now, The Marriage Plot, and I've enjoyed both of his previous works. I think there's almost really nothing more pleasurable than sitting and reading a book, and I just anybody who suggests something, I'm willing to try it if it comes with a recommendation that's positive.
That's great. Well, have you always been a writer, and what has been the writing path that you took leading up to the writing and publishing of Buried by the Rhone and Antler Dust before that?
Yeah, I mean, I knew from an early age I'd be a reporter. I knew even in high school that was what I was going to want to do, and I spent all my summers in college working at a newspaper and got hired right out of college. I worked on my college newspaper. I worked on my high school newspaper. I had a strong desire to be a reporter from an early age, so being around writing and trying to put information together from the nonfiction side was something been doing from a very early time, and up as the son of two librarians in the Boston area, and I have yet to meet anybody else who can make that claim other than my brothers. It's pretty rare to grow up in a house that is just that focused on books and information, and so I think it was just part of my DNA, part of my genes, and I really was scared at the idea of writing fiction until about the early 1980s. And started a friend to turn me on to mysteries, and I suddenly realized that there was a genre, an approach, a structure that I could hang my hat on because it had a beginning, middle, and end. The big sort of straight fiction novels, what they call a beginning, a middle, and another middle, with no end, really just frightened me. So
right. The
mystery genre gave me something to work on, and I started writing fiction in the 80s. I wrote a book in the 80s that quickly got a good New York agent for, and I'll go quickly over this part, but it's
sure.
a long and sordid story, but got a good agent in the 80s, actually quit a job thinking that I was going to be able to sell a book in about 1989 or 90. Wrote another book in the early 90s, also got an agent for that one, was actually represented by one of the top agencies in New York, was told lots of promises. This time I didn't quit my job, but stuck with it. Nothing happened. Actually wrote an early draft of Antler Dust in the late 90s. Had another really good New York agent. Worked for a year with that agent to make some changes to the script and get it ready. Nothing happened. Wrote another standalone thriller that is still on the shelf in the early thousands, early part of this last decade. And then Antler Dust, another version of that, finally sold in 2007 after 23 or 24 years of writing fiction. And about the time that was coming off the presses and starting to make its way around Colorado and other places regionally, started working on Buried by Their Own. And so I have multiple manuscripts, lots of, and not a regret here at all. I was just reading the book called On Writing, and I know there are many books called On Writing, but this one in particular is by George V. Higgins, and I highly recommend it. And he talks in there about how he had some similar experiences, thinking he was selling some manuscripts and nothing happened to them in the end. And looking back, he was his attitude was very much, thank God that they didn't sell because I've learned so much in the meantime. And that's exactly the way I feel. I've learned so much and had such a great time learning as I've gone that I'm happy to have those projects available if I want to try to bring them down and spruce them up. But, that's where I am today.
Right. And what has been the reception in Colorado to your novels, Antler Dust and Buried by the Rhone?
Well, it's been fantastic. Nothing short of it as far as I'm concerned. The first book did really well. We sold out our hardcover print run, which was 2,000 copies. At the time, that publisher said he would bring out a paperback and bring out some of my other stuff, and then he folded or went under. Even though I know my project made money for him, but in a couple, let me see, about 15, 18 months ago now, ran into another independent publisher, a wonderful organization out of Aspen called People's Press. And they primarily focused their work on Western Colorado and hadn't done much in the fiction area, but because my stuff is set there, it seemed like a good fit. And they did bring out a trade paperback version of Antler Dust, and already the Buried by Their Own in trade paperback is closing in on the sales figures from 4 years of hardback sales on the first one. So, and the response has been great. I've had great reviews in the Durango Herald, the Grand Junction Sentinel, the Aspen Times. There's a great monthly magazine out here called High Country News, and they wrote a beautiful review. Just
That's great.
Really good reaction and good reviews that anybody can check out on my website, of course, as any author does these days, to try to get the word out there. So,
and what is the address for your website if someone wanted to check it out?
Sure, it's writermarkstevens.com. Very simple.
Great. And so are you working on another Alison Coyle novel?
I am. I'm about, I would say, three-quarters of the way through a first draft. And right now, just chatting with the publisher, no firm deal yet. And of course, they haven't read the book yet, but if they like it, I think we're looking at something in mid-2013 coming out.
Great. Well, when you talk to aspiring writers, what advice do you give them about pursuing their own writing and publication of their work?
Yeah, I'm actively involved in a great organization out here called Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers. We have about 400 members, and I've been lucky enough for the past few years to be running their monthly workshop program. And so I'm a big believer in networking, and there's lots of writers out here in various stages of their career, and that question comes up often. And I was the recipient of the same advice, and it is the same advice I'd give back to anybody today, which is write, keep writing, write some more, and keep writing, and really listen to the feedback you get. There is no right way to do it. It has to be your story. It has to be the one you want to tell. But if you want to move that story out into the marketplace and communicate, have other readers experience what you want them to experience, it really is a good thing to listen to others. Listen carefully. You don't have to take every little bit of feedback. But really continue to refine and show care for what you're trying to do. You may think you're communicating. If 8 out of 10 readers say they don't quite get it, chances are there's work to be done. And it's a long process.
Great. And given your background in journalism, how was it different for you to write fiction? Was there any kind of learning process there that felt a lot different?
Yeah, to me, they're really, other than the fact that they both have words, they're really very different. They're, it'd be probably like one would be like playing the violin, the other would be the trumpet or something. They're both music, but they're really different techniques you're sort of applying, and I really don't even think, my head just thinks completely differently when I'm doing one thing or the other. So those first few scary years of trying to think or pretend that I could put a story together in 80 or 100,000 words that might be entertaining, to me was a totally different space for my head to go. I do pull in a lot of research. Both books are very based on contemporary themes and ideas. The first book, Antler Dust, had a lot of issues around animal rights and poaching in it. The new one, as I mentioned, has the natural gas scene sort of in the background and energy drilling. And so there's a fact layer basis and nonfiction basis to some of the information. But on top of that are all the characters and plot issues and trying to keep momentum going in the story and learning about dialogue and how to keep your your descriptions, you know, interesting, and maybe a slice of poetry here or there, and trying to respect the reader and their trying to just, you know, engage the reader in a colorful or interesting way. There's a whole set of other skills you have to learn, or if you're born with them, that's great. And I've met some people that are, but I certainly wasn't. They were all things I had to learn and sort of practice over and over to try to get, and still trying to trying to get better today. There's always room for improvement. So to me, that's just the fiction side is, you know, you can take 10% fact and then really 90% imagination, and then of course on the journalism nonfiction side, you've got to be at 100% fact, and that's the goal anyway.
Great. Well, again, we've been speaking with Mark Stevens, author of Buried by the Rhone, available in bookstores now. Mark, thanks for doing the interview.
Jeff, thanks a million for having me.
Sure. Is there anything we didn't cover that you'd like to cover?
No, that's great. I appreciate the opportunity, and thanks for all the excellent interviews you've done, Jeff, and bringing voices from writers that some of them we know, and it's great to hear from others we don't, and really appreciate your efforts.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thanks for listening to my latest podcast. If you have a chance, please leave a review of the podcast in iTunes. It only takes a moment. Until next time, read some good books and be well.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.